Do you remember that funny story about the couple in their 90s and they died suddenly at the same time and went to heaven? They got to heaven, St. Peter showed them around. They couldn't believe how wonderful it was. St. Peter showed them, first of all, a golf course. The guy said, "Wow, this is the most beautiful golf course I've ever seen." He said, St. Peter said, "Yeah, and the beautiful thing is, whenever you play, you hit par or below." That'd be pretty good, wouldn't it? And then he showed them this marvelous smorgasbord. He said, "Wonderful, you can eat whatever you want, not gain any weight." And then these beautiful vistas. And the fellow looked at his wife and said, "Doris, doggone it, you know, if you hadn't had me eating that bran all the time, we could have been here 10 years earlier." Well, let's look at the scripture now. From 1 Corinthians chapter 6. "Or do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit within you, which you have from God, and that you are not your own? For you were bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body." Would you pray with me? May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our Redeemer. Amen. One of the things I think we want most in life, is to live well, full lives, all of our lives, great relationships, making a difference in the world, being in service to others. We want life to be rewarding and meaningful and full and rich. A part of what Jesus was talking about when he referred to the abundant life. "I came to give you life in abundance," abundant life. Eternal life that begins now and goes on for eternity. We want to be more and more intimate with God in this life so that when we transition to the next life, it will be just a different step, a different slight transition. We don't want to be in the position of getting to the other side and not recognizing who God is. And so our function, our purpose in life is to be this intimate, ever-increasingly wonderful relationship with God and the fullness of our whole lives. We want to love God with our mind, heart, soul, and strength, our whole being, and be at our God-created best. As many of you know, we're in the second week of a sermon series on this. A week and a half ago, I did, at the end of 2005, I did something I'd never done before. I emailed the whole congregation who get the email, about 1,700 of you, I think it is. And I invited you to hold me accountable. I will never do that again. You are really good at holding me accountable. Actually, you've been very good. I've been amazed at the response. I shared with you honestly that we want to look at being on top of our game emotionally, physically, mentally, spiritually, relationally. And I figured in order to preach about it, I need to do it. And I share with you, I need to lose 12 pounds. My doctor told me that, and I know that. And several of you suggested I change doctors, but I'm not going to do that. So between now and Lent, which begins in 1st of March, we're going to try to reinforce healthy habits. If you've not started, you can start today. If you don't want to start, that's all right too. There's no judgment in this. This is just what I think a lot of us are feeling led to do, at least from what you said. All ages and all stages and all different aspects of this. Physically, we're going to try to maybe lose some weight, exercise at least four times a week, 30 minutes to 45 minutes a day. Eat our fruits and vegetables. We're going to emotionally do some things that give us renewal. Mentally, we're going to stretch ourselves spiritually. Find 20 minutes a day to read the scripture. Somebody shared with me, "You know, the great thing about what you said, Dan, in the email is these are manageable goals. They're not out there. They're not sort of preacher goals. They're manageable goals." I hope you feel that way. When Jesus was asked what the great commandment was, he said, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord your God is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength." Many of you, I think, have signed up to join with me. As I say, there's no judgment, just encouragement, supportive accountability. And I say, I've been amazed. Now, here's an important truth that I've just begun to learn. You and I can be on target at the top of our game, as it were. We can be there in two or three of these areas, and maybe not in one or two other areas, and not realize how much that drags you down. I'll give you two examples. This past November and December, I felt really spiritually on top of things. I mean, I felt spiritually alive. It was the best Advent I've ever experienced. I felt emotionally connected to Jan, to the people I work with, to you. It was wonderful. But in November and December, I noticed something. It sort of dawned on me slowly. Things dawned on me slowly. I would drive to work. I'd park the car, come into the education building, go up to the second floor where our office is. And I found myself beginning to take the elevator about half the time. First time I said, well, I'm tired today, I'm going to take the elevator. Second time I thought, you know, I'm feeling really great today, I'm going to take the elevator. And pretty soon I said, my word, I'm taking the elevator as much as I'm taking the stairs. What's wrong with me? I think that's what propelled me to send the email out and to invite you to hold me accountable. I knew I wasn't going to be able to do it on my own. I was not renewing my body. I was adding some pounds. I was feeling older than my numerical age. The good news is, since January 1st, since we've started this little routine, I don't run anymore. I mean, 10 years ago, I ran a marathon. I promise you I'll never do that again. No, I had fun doing that, but I don't enjoy running. I don't enjoy going to the gym. I enjoy walking, and that's what I do. You find something that works for you, I do that. Mark, could you hand me that water? Excuse me. So, since January 1st, I've been doing that, and I've been feeling better. In fact, when I come to work, I found I've just taken, I take the steps, two steps at a time, and it feels great. In large part, I think it's because we're a church, and we encourage and support each other, and I've appreciated your encouragement. That's why I say in the notes, Oh yeah, I meant to ask you to pull out the sermon notes, particularly the one, if you would, that has the, I don't know if I can find mine. It has the piece about the personal inventory on one side, and the, here it is, and some thoughts on being my God-created best on the other. And there, somewhere I say, never say, I don't have enough time to exercise. I promise you, I would do that. I would do that religiously, say that. It would get away from me, and I just want to encourage you to do that. When you exercise, you feel better all over. You feel have better energy. You're more emotionally resilient. You think better. You can operate cognitively at a much higher level. You connect to your core purpose and spirituality. I learned something else this week. I was at a conference, and it was said there that 15% of adults, only 15% of adults have an actual exercise program, an intentional exercise program. Now, during January and February, it's going to be 85 or 90% of all Trinity people are going to have this, right? I didn't hear any amens, but I know you're feeling that in your heart. Wouldn't it be great if there were a dozen Trinity walking groups out here on this beautiful property every day? You could really help somebody if you began one. If you wanted to call me or call the office and say, I want to start one, that'd be great. When it's cold, you could walk inside here. Let me share with you a second arena that is more subtle. From an acquaintance of mine, he was at the top of his game physically and spiritually. He exercised religiously. That was not a problem for him. He was a runner, did it every day. Physically, he was on track. Spiritually, he was at the top of his game. Felt really great in his relationship with God. But he did not know his emotional limits and how to renew emotionally, how to stop, how to find that, dig that well deeper, to renew the well. It would drain out through the week, through the day. His emotional output far exceeded his emotional recovery and renewal. He was working probably too hard, too long hours. He wouldn't leave work at work. He would bring it home. It would just constantly, it was like a battery that was draining out. I bet many of you can understand and appreciate that. He was self-aware enough to realize that he was in trouble when this incident happened that I'm going to tell you. One day he was going out of a store and there was a Vietnam veteran in a wheelchair slowing down everybody behind him. normally this person that I'm telling you about would be so proud of this guy, would encourage him, would thank him, would engage with him, would bless him, would thank God for him, would pray for him. But on this day, his first reaction, he said, was, "Oh, come on. I'm going to have to wait on this guy." He said, "I got in my car and I said, 'What are you doing? What is going on inside you? What's wrong with you?'" He said, "I knew I was in trouble. I was realizing that I was depleted emotionally. Physically, I was all right. Spiritually, I was all right. I was depleted emotionally. I didn't have the emotional energy to see him or care about him. What about you? Are you aware of those red flags that come up when you say, 'Wow, what's going on? I need to pay attention to this.' You easily irritated, frustrated, on edge. Maybe you're emotionally depleted. You just need to find rest or renewal. Battery is drained. The red flag for me is when I get short or cross easily or sarcastic with Jan. Actually, she lets me know it pretty well. Or the people I work with. I'm learning to see that it's a telltale sign that something isn't right. And more often than not, I'm running on empty emotionally. And I need to shape that up. Shape that up. I haven't taken the time to renew. Now, if you would be so kind to take this sheet of paper, a personal inventory of my life. Not that I don't trust you to do this at home. But I just want to go down this with you. Again, please hear me. No judgment. But we don't know unless we know where we are. And on the left-hand side, there's an opportunity for great improvement. On the right-hand side, you feel like you're doing well. Again, just encouragement. Physically, I like where I am right now with my weight. Or I need to improve. I'm eating the right things 80% of the time and the right portions. Someone said to me, if you eat 80% of the time, you eat impeccably well. 20% of the time, you can just really mess up. That'd be all right. I'm exercising at least 30 minutes, at least 4 times a week. I have a plan and structure to get my physical life well in order. Emotionally, there's a typo here. I plan into my day experiences that bring me, not bridge my, but bring me emotional renewal and recovery. I think that's really important. You can assume that that's going to happen. It will not happen unless you plan into your day experiences that will bring you emotional renewal. That is time with your spouse, call your children, call a good friend, let myself laugh a lot, try to savor and enjoy moments. Mentally, spiritually, I feel that I have a vibrant, growing relationship with God. If you don't feel like you have that, you can begin that today by inviting Jesus the Christ into your life as Lord and Savior. I like that next one. My spiritual life is such that it increases my courage and passion for life. That's what spirituality ought to do. Increase your courage and your passion for life. Not produce guilt, but as in the words of Joshua chapter 1, be strong and of good courage, for he is with you wherever you go. Relationally, do you come to the most important relationships in your life with the leftover energy or to the best energy? Only you can answer that. Your service and your financial situation. We'll talk more about that one later on. Accountability. I would just encourage you to get somebody to help you be accountable. It's been hugely helpful to me that you and I have gone on record. I've gone on record before 1,700 people. I realize that every Wednesday I have to report into you. In fact, this week I've had times where I've been tempted not to do this, and I said, "Oh no, I've got to report about this in the Wednesday Word." Accountability is important. In fact, I'll confess to you, Friday all day it got away from me. I didn't have my 20 minutes of devotions. But here's the deal. All of us are going to mess up and fall down. Key is to start up again. If you haven't started, why not? That's why it's not a judgment or guilt thing, but encouragement and support. I heard about somebody in our church who who I thought her story really fit well with what we're talking about. And I asked her if she would be willing to share with you all this morning. And Jean Dixon, if you would come up. Jean said, "No, I don't think I could do that, Dan." And I said, "God wants you to do that, Jean." It's a wonderful story. Not a quick fix, not a magic silver bullet, but just kind of neat. And Jean, the way you've talked about the last two services has been so good and helpful. Thanks for sharing with us, Jean Dixon.
Thank you.
How long have you been a member at Trinity?
I've been here 16 years,
16.
About 15.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Good morning. When Dan called me and asked me to give you a little story about my weight loss and healthy experience and exercise, I said to myself, what can I say to you? Most of us have tried exercise machines and diet pills, diet books, all the things we're seeing on TV. What can I really say that will make an impact and hopefully make an impression on one person? That was Dan's hook. If you can just help one person. So I just hope that I will. I hope I can inspire more than one of you. My weight loss and exercise program began on in September 2004. Between hurricanes, it seemed every weekend we were dodging a hurricane, and it was also my birth month. So I thought, if you're ever going to get control of this weight, Jean, you're going to have to begin. I prayed about it, and the next morning, on a very hot and humid September morning, it was early, I turned my coffee on, I dressed and put my Nikes on, and went out the door, started walking 16 months ago, and I've been walking ever since. I miss very seldom. I guess the last 6 months I've missed maybe 2 days. Commitment, that's one big word, commitment. And it isn't easy, and it isn't fast. It's just keep on plugging. That morning when I got back in, I walked about a half a mile. And when I got back home, my legs hurt. And I thought, well, this isn't very much fun. I don't know if I want to do this again in the morning. But when I started preparing my breakfast, I realized I wasn't as hungry as I usually am. So I fixed a smaller amount of breakfast, a smaller portion. And I did that the other two meals that day and tried not to concentrate on food. I think so many of our social activities are centered around food, and that's difficult. But with every day and the scales going down a little bit each day, each week or whenever it was I weighed, it was encouraging. I had several incentives to lead a healthier lifestyle and to exercise and lose weight. Number one, and the real big one, I think some of you know that 5 years ago I was given a most precious gift, a new kidney. My daughter, Jenny Wood, is a member of this church, and she was my donor. And I thought possibly I wasn't being the best caregiver of that kidney and of my body. So that was incentive number one. Incentive number two, because of the transplant, I'm on heavy doses of medication, and they tend to weaken bones and muscles. And my doctors have said, in order to counter this, I must do weight-bearing exercises. So that was another big incentive. Another incentive, and much more fun, was my son-in-law from Michigan that was in Washington, D.C. for a year. wanted me to come and see some of the newer memorials there. For instance, World War II and FDR and some of the wonderful memorials. And I thought, well, if I'm going to Washington, I'm going to be walking a lot and climbing a lot. So I need to get much stronger. That was incentive number three. I did go to Washington, and I had a wonderful time. I did walk a lot, and in the Capitol building, one of the elevator we wanted to take to the next floor was crowded and very, very slow. So I suggested we walk, take the stairs, and we did, and there were 24 steps. I counted them. And did fine, made it up those steps just fine, very proud of myself. And my daughter said, Mom, I remember when you couldn't step up on the curb. So I do think if you don't use it, you lose it. In the year's time, from September to September, I lost 30 pounds, slowly, but with determination and with smaller portions. That's all I can say. It isn't magic, it isn't quick, and it isn't sometimes not even very much fun. And I would say 80% of the time, like Dan says, I do very well, but I go off and I don't do any particular diet. I eat carbs and sweets and fats, but a lot of vegetables and fruits.
How much do you walk now?
I walk 2 miles plus, and a half sometimes and a quarter, but every day.
Now, when Jenny gave you the kidney, was that, that was a big deal.
That was a big deal.
And it went all right for her and it went all right for you?
Yes, I was going to say, we are both doing fine and we both praise God every day for that. Yes, we're just... It was a big deal. It's certainly a miracle. Anyhow, I think if I could say anything, it would be just get off of the couch, get out of the lazy boy, and put one foot in front of the other, and you'll see a remarkable, remarkable difference. If I can be a cheerleader or help anybody to light a fire and get going here with your walk, it's cheap. There's nothing to it. Just open your door and walk. So, anyhow, that's my story, and I wish all of you a healthy and happy 2006.
Thanks, Jenny. Thanks, Jean. Jean, if you would join me at the end on the hymn, that would be great, back at the back. Well, would you pray with me? God, we give you thanks that in the body of Christ you place people in our lives that are encouragers. Thank you for Jean. We thank you that you are the chief encourager. You support us in our relationship with you and our relationship with others. We're not going through this alone, but the Lord Jesus is with us each step of the way, and we give you thanks for that. Now, oh God, we commit this year to you and our lives to you anew and afresh. For we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.